Okay, we're going to be talking about piano accompanying today. Accompanying is my favorite part of playing the piano. I think it's because I don't like to be the main focus. So you can support somebody else and they're looking at them. I like it much better to accompany. It's for you to be a support to them. And what we're going to really be focusing in on today, even though it will apply to accompanying for instrument or accompanying for congregation, a lot of the same principles will apply. But what I'm going to talk about mainly today is accompanying for a soloist. Or it could be a group, you know, but for a vocal solo or group. Okay, before we even get started, I want to just go through some main chords. All right, I'll keep it very simple, just because I'm going to be referring to these chords. And we're going to think in the key of C. And these chords can be transposed to any of the keys. But if you can see it in the key of C, usually you can transfer it to another key. So what is the main chord? Okay, you've got the key of C, and you've got your scale. This is going to be, I know, very basic for some of you. How many of you know theory? How many of you don't? Oh, well, there we go. I don't even have to go through it. Okay, you know your one chord, C, E, G. And what's your four chord in the key of C? Your five chord? I love it. Oh, this is great. Okay. And let's just do one more chord. What is the two chord in the key of C? D, F, A. And it's minor. It's a secondary chord. Your major primary chords are 1, 4, and 5. Your secondary chords are 2, 3, and 6, and they're minor. And then the 7 chord, we hardly ever use. It is diminished. It's all minor thirds. And we do use diminished chords, but not usually built on the 7th degree of the scale. It's a very rare chord. Okay, so you know the 1, 2, 4, and 5. And then when you add a minor 7th on a major chord, let's add a minor 7th on a C chord, what would it be? C, E, G, B flat. Okay, so in the key of C, a B flat is not in the key signature. So usually when you add a minor 7th on the one chord, it's going to take you somewhere else. It will be an altered note. Okay, it's not normally in the key of C. So if I was playing a song in the key of C, I would not add the minor 7th. No. Now I might add that minor 7th, now I'm going to 4. It makes 1 the 5 of F. C becomes the 5 of F. And that happens many times in a song because the end of the stanza a lot of times ends on the 1 and then the chorus begins on a 4. So you can add that minor 7th, you probably just automatically do it. But the minor 7th, where is the minor 7th usually? What chord is it usually added on? The minor 7th. And it's so common that you just say, it's a 7 chord, 5. Did you say the 4 or 5? It's a 5, yeah. I couldn't see that last finger up there. Okay, yes, it's a 5 chord. Because when you add a minor 7th on a chord, it wants to take it to whatever it's the 5 chord of. So in the key of C, what's the 5 chord? G. So if you add an F natural, G, B, D, F, if you add that minor 7th, it wants to go to C. That's why the last two chords of a song are usually 5 with a minor 7th on it, 1. Almost always. 5, 7, 1. 5 wants to go to 1. That's why when you add a minor 7th on the 1 chord, it wants to go to 4. C with a minor 7th wants to go to F. Okay? So the major minor 7th, a 5 chord with a minor 7th on it is a major minor 7th. It's a major triad, G, B, D, with a minor 7th, the F. But it's so common, you just say 5-7. It's automatically understood it's a major minor 7th. All right? Now, you can have on your minor chords, like the 2. Spell the 2 chord in the key of C for me. D-F-A. It's a minor chord. What's a minor 7th over D? C. D, F, A, C. It's another third up. You're just going up by thirds. D to F to A to C. It's a minor, minor 7th. And I do use that chord a lot. I use the minor seventh on the 2, on the 3, and on the 6 when I'm playing. It adds more color. It just adds more color. It's just something, and that's free. I hope you can use that. Okay, there is two more chords that I want to explain to you. One is the sus chord. Who can tell me what a sus chord is? A suspension. There are two suspensions. There's a 2-1 and a 4-3 suspension. The one we're going to talk about is the 4-3 suspension. Who can tell me what is a G sus chord? Spell it. G-C-D. It's the fourth above the root instead of the third above the root. Instead of G-B-D, it's G-C-D. It's a sus chord. And a lot of times, you don't always resolve it, but a lot of times you do resolve it. The C would come down to the B. That means 4-3. 4 above the root comes down to a third above the root. A sus chord. Very, very common in our hymn playing, a sus chord. And I use that a lot. And the other thing I want to explain to you, because I'll be referring to this too, are pedal tones. A pedal tone is a non-harmonic tone. It's not in the harmony, in the chord, so to speak. Okay, we're going to think of the key of C. We have a C, E, G chord, right? The 1 chord. The 4 chord is F, A, C. And the 5 chord is G, B, D. Okay? A pedal tone would be leaving your... And usually pedal tones are one of two notes. Usually it's the root of whatever key you're in. So I'm in the key of C. What's the root? Or C. Okay? Or it'll be the 5. What's the 5 of the key of C? G. Those are two common pedal tones. And what it does, it just gives you more color. So that when you're accompanying for a solo, I don't always go 1, 4, 5, back to 1. It gets old after a while. So if I go C, C, E, G. Now C is in the F, A, C chord, right? So it's still, but is it in the 5 chord? G, B, D in my right hand, but C. See, it gives some color. It's just a pedal. Or I could do it on the G in the bass. That's F over G with a minor seventh. Okay. So we're going to discuss that. So I want you to understand the sus chord and what a pedal tone is. Use it in your accompanying. It is very nice, and I will show you a couple of ways to do that. Okay, let's look at the purpose on your handout. The purpose is to enhance the vocalist by supporting but not getting in the way. And there is a fine line between supporting and getting in the way. And sometimes it is completely in the hands of your audio tech guy. Either they don't get you up hot enough, or they're blasting you and you can't hear the vocalist, you know. But sometimes you don't have any mics. You just have to be very, very careful. And for our mic checks at our church, I always have somebody that has a good ear sitting out there, because our audio guys aren't musicians always. Is that saying it discreetly? So I like to have somebody I trust musically to say, okay, is the balance between the piano and the vocalist good? Or is between the organ and the vocalist? Because you do want to have enough support there. Because I know Ron, he likes me to play out and just be a support for him. It makes him feel like he can sing. Because if you play timidly, they're a little bit afraid, you know. You can really be a nice support for them. So there's a fine balance between supporting but not being too loud. So try to find that balance. Then, number 2, be a follower. You need to wait. You need to listen. You really need to listen to whoever you're accompanying, because you want to give them the freedom to express the song, however. And if you are just kind of driving away, you know, with the rhythm and the tempo and not really listening to what tempo is comfortable for them, where they need to breathe, where they want to point up an important note, you've got to be a good listener to be a good accompanist. Always listening, always being right there but letting them have the freedom. Maybe sometimes the lines are getting too, their phrases are too long and they can hardly do it in one breath. So you see them, you kind of hear them. Oh, they're speeding up. Okay, I need to. But don't drive them. You listen. You listen to whoever you're accompanying. Well, sometimes they may slow it way up, you know, and going too slow, and they're hurting. Maybe it's a duet, and the other person, you know, is having trouble breathing because this person's getting slower and slower. So you may need to keep it moving for, you know. So there's a fine line there, too. Okay, B. Let's get a small drink here. To enhance the message by, number one, word painting the lyrics with style. All your lyrics and all your songs are not going to be the same, and you do not want them to all sound alike. And I think that might be one of the most common things I hear when I hear pianists is just everything kind of sounds the same. It doesn't matter that it was a meditative, worshipful song or that it was a upbeat, you know, uplifting, whatever song. It all just sounds the same. So be very, try to word paint those lyrics by how you play. And you'll be setting that up many times with the introduction, which we'll talk about in a minute. But there are different kinds of lyrics. And not all the lyrics are going to be the same in the same song. I was thinking of the Power of the Cross. Oh, to see the day. It's just kind of a medium worship, but it's not, oh, to see the day in my, you know. But, and then the second stanza is, I don't even remember, but it is more meditative, but then it goes, death is crushing something, life is, you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. But, and so then I start picking it up when the lyrics demand it. So follow your lyrics. You want to word paint these lyrics. Don't make it all sound the same. Make it more worshipful, and then if a stanza gets big, and which usually the last stanza is, we're the whole realm of nature mine, that we're a present, you can play out. But see, if every verse sounded the same, you didn't have anywhere to go. You know, but if you really pull back where it needs to be, then when you get big, it really pictures. And it makes people like, and they may not even know why. So just make sure you have variety and that you paint the lyrics with the style that you're playing in. Word paint the lyrics with chord patterns. We're not going to get much into that because that's, years of learning different chord patterns. But you can do different chords to color words. And if you know your chords, do that. But it's a little more difficult to figure out different chords that are other than what are in the hymn book. Okay, number three, I'm just going to add this. Word painting the lyrics with dynamics and phrasing. And like I mentioned before, don't make sure it doesn't all just not sound the same, but it also has different dynamic contrast. So sometimes it's going to be softer and more relaxed. But even in softer sections, and I learned this, my dad studied with Robert Shaw. He was a great choral director from Atlanta, Georgia. And he always, when a song was soft, he said there's an inner energy. You know, it's something like if you're whispering something to someone, like, this is a secret, you know, but this is a secret. I mean, I could be very soft, but no passion, no emotion. This is a secret. You know, like even. I hear inside of me. And see. What's missing? There's no energy. There's no passion. So even when you get soft, make sure there's an underlying, you don't want it to be dead, even when it's meditative. And then have dynamics. And many times, and proper phrasing, like it would be, oh, to see the day of, I can't think of the words. Oh, yeah, oh, to see the dawn of a, of the darkest day, something like that. Okay. But it's okay, if I were to say that sentence, I won't say it. Say it again.
Oh, to see the dawn of the darkest day.
Okay. Oh, to see the dawn of the darkest day. I wouldn't say, oh, to see the dawn of the darkest day. I don't talk like that. I hope you don't either. But don't play like that. Your phrase is usually... And it's a little bit more intensity, and then a little more relaxed, a little bit more volume, and then a little less volume. So you need to play with proper phrasing and dynamics, and it will make a world of difference. You can play the same notes and not be adding anything extra special that you didn't usually add, but have dynamics, and you sound like a professional pianist. So I can't emphasize it enough and exaggerate it. I've judged enough piano contests, and one of the questions is always, did they have dynamic contrast? And so I'm a stickler on it, because you don't want everything MF or everything loud. it needs that. And sometimes when I'm talking to a student, I haven't taught for a while, but they say, oh, I had some. You don't realize how you have to exaggerate it for it to come across. I mean, don't go weird, but it has to be exaggerated for it to come across, really, basically. Okay, enough on that. All right, the process. Okay, number A, you can follow the chords indicated by the song's four-part writing. So if you just go from your hymn book, just follow those chords. That's the very simplest to do. You're using it as a chord chart. You know, guitarists have a chord chart that they play from. So you're looking at a song in the key of C. Okay, that's the C chord. Okay, that's the F chord. That's a C over G chord. That's a D minor chord. I know what that chord is as soon as I see it structurally in the hymn, and I can improvise on it. I'm just using my hymn book as a chord chart. And you have the melody. But if you're accompanying, you don't have to play the melody. Yes?
Do you have a way that you know that makes them see the importance of using those chords not only for the dynamics but for the color?
You mean the chords that are written?
Yeah. Well, even if you take a straight hymn and you add a half
diminished. Right. Half diminished or diminished. I don't know. We do have a series of textbooks. It's called the Hymnproviser. I think all we brought was textbook one, but there are three textbooks. The third textbook is more. Oh, you got it.
I have the last one.
Oh, did you? You can order it from Majesty Music. But the third textbook goes into how to make color chords, like to use the diminished or the full. You know, the half diminished, the full diminished. It does. It's pretty. If you use it correctly. But anyway, that is more advanced. And we do have that in the book three. It has a whole chapter on using how to use color chords, how to use the secondary chords, like the 2, the 3, the 6, how to use augmented chords, how to use diminished chords. Yeah, yeah. So I hope that's helpful. But anyway, you can make it sound really nice with just using the chords in the hymn book. But of course, the more chords you know, you can make it more colorful. And if you have had theory, or if you're interested in that, you could get Hymnproviser Book 3. It has a whole, we call it a dictionary of fill-ins. It gives you a whole bunch of fill-ins, and they're transposed, so you can keep transposing them and learn them, and so you can play them. Any fill-in in any key that's presented, and then it's got the chapter on on color chords, and then a chapter on modulating, how to modulate from one key to another, if you're interested in that. But it is more advanced. But it's not for the weary of heart, believe me. And especially if you're right now just struggling a little bit with what's the 1-4-5 chord, this is even a little more advanced. But I would suggest doing it. just getting out there and doing all you can to increase your ear. So everything doesn't sound the same. But you can make it sound very beautiful just using, especially in the newer songs, a lot of the newer songs have a lot of chord progressions already for you. A lot of the older gospel songs and hymns are 1-4-5. So you would probably want to change those around a little more, you know, to add the 2, you know, and that kind of thing. But the newer songs have a lot of the chords written out for you. You don't have to change anything up. You could if you wanted to, but there are a lot of more variety in the chords. Okay, B, you can figure out the chords by using your ear. You can vary the harmonies from the hymn book if you're able to do that. Let's say you were, I'll get to that in a minute. Okay, let's look at C, plan an outline of the accompaniment and a mood setting, and that was not supposed to be direction, that's supposed to be introduction, a mood setting introduction. So what I would do, and especially if it were going to be a printed choir arrangement and I'm making the accompaniment for that, I would outline, what are my keys going to be? And when you're accompanying for a soloist at your church, there are several tips you can do. Like you can be, let's say you are doing God Never Moves Without Purpose or Plan, Rejoice in the Lord, and you started in the key of C. Okay, that's, I could, on the very last stanza, maybe go up a half step, because it just makes it kind of built. Now, if you're, let's say you're in the key of D, let's say a song was written in the key of D, you could put it, just change the key signature and put the first stanza in the key of D flat. Just change your key signature and you're in the key of D flat. And then for the last stanza, go up to D. So now you've got it, you know, you have it all written out for you. So all you have to think, it's easier to transpose it. Sometimes when I first started accompanying by ear, and Ron would always want his songs at like a third or a fourth lower because of his low voice. And I was a little trying it when I was first doing it because I just didn't feel comfortable at all and I couldn't do it very well. But what I would do sometimes is I would take the chord, I would make a chord chart above the song in the hymn book. Like I said, that's a C chord, that's an F chord, that's a G chord. Okay, well, he wants it in A flat. Okay, so everything's down a perfect third. So I'd say, okay, instead of the C chord, it's an A flat chord. Instead of the F chord, it's a D flat chord. Instead of the G chord, it's an E flat chord, maybe with a minor seventh on it. And then I would just kind of accompany following that chord chart. Or sometimes I would even write out the melody in the key he wanted it transposed to, just on a piece of staff paper. I'd just write out the melody, then I would put the chords above it. And then I would just use it, I would accompany using that as a chord chart. And that made me feel a lot more comfortable. So whatever works for you. But the more you do it, the more you transpose, the easier it becomes. Or you could say, this is a 1 chord, this is a 4 chord, this is a 5 chord. So whatever key you need to play it in, you'd say, okay, I'm in the key of D. Well, the 1 chord is D, the 4 chord is G, the 5 chord is A, the 2 chord is E minor. You know, so I could, just by looking at the chord chart, 1, 2, 3, or 1, 2, 4, 5, I could transpose it because I just have to think in whatever key I'm playing in. Does that make sense? But it's worth it because probably do you all have to transpose when you accompany at your church? And especially if there's no accompaniment written out, like maybe it's just a 4-part from the hymn and they say, oh, it's too high, it's too low, whatever. You've got to transpose it. And that is a very good technique to learn. And that's a good way to start. And then the more you think about what the chords are, the more when you're in the key of D flat, okay, I know it's, I can pretty much hear when it moves to the 4, when it moves to the 5 now, because I've trained myself so much by doing it. Okay, so I would plan an outline of the accompaniment. Does the person want to, modulate up for the last stanza, which is very common. Another thing you can do, like if you're in the key of C, I could go down a major third, so the root of my C chord becomes a third of the A flat chord, because C down a major third would be going to the key of A flat. So, and you don't even have to put a modulation in. That's awfully low. Right now I'm in the key of A flat. That's pretty low for that song. But then when you get... now, I can just get to the 5 sus, going back to the key of C, and now I'm back in the key of C. So it's a very easy modulation to get back to your original key. Yes, ma'am?
Just now, how many keys higher did you go?
I went back up to C.
Okay.
I went back up a major third.
Mm-hmm. What was the in-between chord there?
Oh, it was, okay, it was a G sus.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. See, the A flat. It is a very, it is. G sus gets you to the key. That's what it really, I know some pianists, that's the only modulation they know. And it's better if you can get to it by step. Like if, you know, the A flat down to the G, it sounds a little better. Or if you can go up to, like... And then I'm resolving. Then I'm back in C. Or you could go to D flat. A, it would be very easy to go to D flat because you're make that A flat becomes a 5 chord of D flat. So I went C to A flat to D flat. No modulation necessary. Except maybe adding the minor 7th on the A flat chord to take me to D flat. You know, at the end of the A flat stanza, just add a minor 7th, a G flat. I'm in D flat. Yes, sir.
Is that the same as playing the 2 chord with the 5-7 on the next key you're going into?
It's a little different. It does work. Yeah, that's my most common modulation on the spot. He's just saying, have you been in my class before? Yes. Okay, my most common modulation is I go to the 2 chord of the new key. So, because 2 is the 5 of 5. Okay, think if we're going to the key of C. We're going to the key of C. We're in the key of A flat. We're going to the key of C. What is the 2 chord of my new key? Which is the key of C? D minor. D minor will take me to G. Will take me to C. So, this pedal. It's aggravating. Okay. Okay. G sus. Da, 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 da. It works every time. Or you can just go to the 5 sus of the new key. Very, very easy modulations. Okay. All right, and I use that modulation, let me explain myself. I use that for on-the-spot modulating. If I'm writing a choir arrangement or, you know, something for publishing, I can spend a day on a modulation because I don't want it to be 2-5-1. I've heard it so many times because I played it so many times. I try to come up with something different like, oh, where's it going? Oh, where's it going? Oh, it's there, you know? So I'm just saying that's kind of a... last ditch, or just if I'm doing a prelude, okay, what key am I going to? A flat? Okay, I go to B flat minor, takes me to E flat, I'm in A flat. That's a very quick modulation, and once you get used to it, I do like a whole measure on the 2 chord, and then a whole measure on the 5 chord, and then I'm in the new 1 chord. All right, so plan an outline and set up a mood setting introduction. When you're, it's very, very possible if you want to just do the last phrase of the song, to do that. You can do that. If I were doing that, I don't usually do that because I like something a little different. But excuse the skirt is so big, it's just like it's so much fabric. Okay. I probably would not do that. I would probably go I'd probably go to the five. I don't know. I shall as gold. It's just, I just don't like to go right to the one and then they start on the one. I like to get to something a little different. Or you could do God never moves without purpose. Five sus. That could be your introduction. It could be the first phrase. Do the da 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 A minor do da D minor 2 5 sus. Just make up a little melody that's just a little different. But my most common when I'm doing a soloist at church, they just say I want to sing such and such song out of the hymn book. I will set up some kind of pattern, like and I will carry it through the first verse. So like if I were doing Rejoice in the Lord, I'd probably, well, this is what I do on the published arrangement. I just, it's just, it's a blocked chord pattern, and that's the introduction with it. Just a little running bass line. But it's a blocked chord pattern. I'm not playing the melody, I'm just accompanying. Or you could do it with arpeggio. You could go 1 4 5 4 dude. 5 over 1 pedal. You know, I'm using the C as a pedal. God never moves without purpose. Just arpeggio. Then I break it. Then. You know, but anyway, just some kind of pattern. Or you could just do 1 1 1 4 4 4 1 1 5 5 God never, you know, but 1 4 5. And I usually probably will use a pedal. And a lot of times in the first phrase of a song, most songs go 1 4 5 in the first phrase. A lot of them do, not all of them, but a lot of them do. So I probably will go, God never moves without purpose or plan. I've kept that C instead of God never moves. I could keep going down, you know, the root and the bass, but I do Jesus keep me near the cross, where a precious mountain. It's a little bit distant there. I just have an F. I'm in the key of F. I just keep the F as a pedal. Do you see how nice? It's just 1 4 5, but I keep the pinky of my left hand on an F. Or if it's a B, just pedal. You know, whatever. The chases away. All right, so set up something that will meet the mood of the song, and try to just use different ideas. Okay, E is determinant. The transposition would be beneficial. So we've already talked about that. Let's go to the second page. Am I supposed to end at 3:20 or 3:30? I can do whatever I want. You may start just filing out, but okay. Number three, the particulars. Okay, you don't have to do this, but I usually let the singer take a pickup note by himself because it's very hard to get it right together. But if you may have a singer, though, that doesn't know where to come in. He doesn't have a good sense of timing, and unless you play it with them, I've had that happen, too. You almost have to play it with them. But if Ron was singing, I'm just going to keep going back to, in the key of C, Rejoice in the Lord. I shall come forth as gold. Okay, that doesn't have a pickup. Okay. God, that's in the downbeat. Let's see. Where is the end of the stanza? Oh, rejoice. And I just let him take the... instead of trying to do it right with him, it's hard to get it right together anyway. But it's nice to let them take that by themselves if they're able to. Okay, B, I seldom play the melody. Now, some singers, you need to play the melody. We probably all have them. I do too. But if they can do it, and if maybe if you practice enough or something... It's just, it's hard, like I said, the pickup, it's hard to keep together. It's always hard, with your accompanying a soloist, to get every note exactly together with them. And then it's kind of, boom, 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 boom. And if you can just do, God never moves, maybe a rolled chord. Do, 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 do. Oh, rejoice in that. And usually I will set up a pattern in the verse and keep it. But, you know, break from it a little bit, you know. And then on the chorus, I probably won't do the same pattern. I probably will break from it. Just maybe something with a little more motion. And this is a common thing. I think I have, yeah, I have it in D. When the singer has a lot of motion... Let's say they're singing, Oh, What a Wonderful Day. Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful day. Day I will... I'm going to be more simple. Da, 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 da. But if they're singing like, Jesus, keep me near. They have a lot of held notes. If I... Da, 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 every time if I don't have any motion going because they've got all these held notes. So if they have a lot of motion, I think a rule of thumb is you stay scale back with your motion. And then if they are holding a lot of long notes, I would put more motion in. Okay. So anyway, I try not to play much of the melody. I just try to be an accompaniment. And there's all kinds of things you can do with that. All right. Let's look at the patterns. Number four, blocked chords. It's the first one I mentioned. It almost works on anything. Day by day, and with each passing moment. And in 5-5-1, 5-sus, da-do-1. Maybe augment the one chord to 4. F chord, do-do-do, do-do-do-do-do-do. It's just a block chord. Or maybe go up into the upper register. So, yeah, that also use variety in your register. You don't want it all just to be right here. You want to try to move it around a little bit. But maybe on the course, I might keep that same block, but take it up. What I've got there, I like to add a plus two of the chord, like instead of just F-A-C, I got F-G-A-C, the plus two. See, it's a little... Instead of, either one's fine. Yeah, just plus tones or the minor sevenths add a little more color to just your plain 1-4-5 and 2 chords. Okay, you could do the arpeggiated or rolled chords. We've talked about that already. You know, just day by day and with each passing, you just roll it. Or sometimes I will set up a little like a music box. Now I've got a plus tone. It's a CEG. I've got it in second inversion. That was the other thing I was going to explain to you. An inversion just means the chord is not in root position. So a CEG, you could be in first inversion, EGC, or in second inversion, GCE. So I've got GCE plus the D. And I might add maybe a little melody. Then I'll probably change. But when I talked about outlining your accompaniment, that's what I mean. Like, okay, well, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to do a rolled chord here. I'm going to do this, you know, if you need to. I don't have to do that anymore because I just kind of, I do it once and I think, oh, yeah, I like that. And I can remember I did that. But I've done it for a long time. We won't say how many years, but many years. Okay. All right, horn fifths. I love horn fifths. Do you know what a horn fifth is? It's a melody, like it would be like a C chord, like you're in the key of C, a C chord. It would be going up C, D, E is the melody. Do, do, do. But it goes sixth to a fifth to a third. The harmony, C, D, E. The harmony below the C is an E. That's a sixth. Then you go up to the D and you go up to a G. Now you're in a fifth. And then up to a C. And you've got a third. It's called a horn fifth. That sounds like a French horn, right? That's why it's called that. But I like to, like, day by day. With each, maybe rock horn fifths. Do, do, do. Do, do. It's just a rocked or it's just rocking back fourths and thirds. It's just rocking horn fifths, pretty much. But that is a nice accompaniment pattern. Okay, pedal tone. We talked about that already. It could be in the right hand. I could go day by day. That's a G. I'm in the key of C. Day by day. I've got a C chord plus a two. G, C, D, E, G, C, G. And then F chord. I'm just keeping that pedal tone. And then I'll probably break away from it. But it's just a pedal. You can do it in the right hand. You can do it in the left hand. Scales. You probably already do this. And a lot of times a scale works very nicely between the verse and the chorus. So if I would, on day by day. Do, 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 five chord, do, 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 do. Okay, do 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 C chord. I'm on a C chord, and then I'll just go to the five chord, because that verse ends on a C, and the chorus starts on a C. So I just go to the five chord while they're holding da 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 da, and usually my last note is a fifth or the third of my next chord. So I'm ending on an E or a G. Okay, or you can bring it down. Da 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 da. Da 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 da. And I usually start on the third of whatever chord it is. Okay, but it's a very nice, and especially like we talked about, a lot of times the stanza ends on the one and the chorus starts on the four. At Calvary, Okay, I add the minor seventh on the one chord. I'm in the key of C at Calvary. I add the B flat and then do a scale with a B flat, a C scale with a B flat, and then I'm on F. Okay, but a scale. It also, if you can remember this, it works very nicely on a two. Like if I'm, let's see if I can do it. That doesn't If I'm on a two, I would start on the F, probably up here. That's the third of the D minor chord, right? An F is the third. Then I'll end on the B, the third of the G chord. It works very nicely on a two chord going to five, a scale. Go up or go down. Okay, arpeggios. I'll just show you two ways. You can either just end the chorus with an arpeggio, or you can end the whole song with an arpeggio. Y'all are getting sleepy. I'm tired too. I don't know how many of you traveled a ways. Yeah, I understand your pain. But I just see, I go, am I that boring, or are you just sleepy from But one of my most favorite arpeggios to use is adding the two. Like if I'm on the end of a song and I'm in the key of C, all right? So I'm going to end do 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 do. You just do instead of that C E G C E G C E G C E G. You know, that's a typical arpeggio. That's fine. But I like to add the plus two. It just gives it a little more color, Z, D, E, G, and I put it inverted. And so it works very nicely on some chords. On a C chord, you would start on the G. So it's G, C, D, E. G, C, D, E. G, C, D, E. And it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4. Just write down on your notes. G, C, D, E, G, C, D, E, G, C, D, E. 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4. It's so easy. And you can go backwards. 4, 3, 2, 1, 4, 3, 2, 1, 4, 3, 2, 1, 4, 3, 2. Or... And one thing that's really pretty to do with that is kind of go up. You see, I'm just going back and forth. G, C, D, E, D, D. G, C, D, E, D, C, G, C, D, E, D, 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 So it just makes it a little more colorful. It works very nice on a D-flat chord if you start on the F. F, A-flat, D-flat, even. Or it can even come back down. It's another way I use arpeggios if a whole measure stays on a chord. Like Ron will sing Bow the Knee tonight. Let's see if I can. Okay, so it's in the key of C. And this will be the last thing I tell you, so you're almost done. It's in the key of C, and the chorus starts on an A minor. What chord is that in the key of C? The sixth chord. Uh-huh. So it's bow the knee. Then it's A minor over G. Then F major, G major, C. God alone. Back to A minor, then to E minor. F major, D minor 7, G sus. 2 to the 5. 1, okay, that's the chord. So it goes, bow the knee, bow the knee. Okay, I'm just playing A minor, going all the way up and back down. So but the whole measure is bow the knee, A minor, for 3 beats, bow the knee, 4 beats. Bow the knee, A minor, A minor, bow the A minor over G. E is F, G. C, God alone on his. And one thing I do, if you practice this, and this is, I don't know if this works for everybody, but it works for me. I do the A minor. Let's see, I'm not sure if I do it in root position or in an inversion, either one. But I use 1, 2, 3, and when you play arpeggios like this, make sure you don't have flying elbows. You don't want... It slows you way down. You want this to glide like this. See how that flips? My thumb flips under. So it's almost a continuous sound. All right? And what I do for my trick to come back down, because it's hard to do that and hit the right notes for me. Anyway, I go up, I end on the A. I'm on an A minor chord, right? So I'm is there a marker? Okay. I'm going A, C, E. I'm on A minor. Thumb under, A, C, E. Thumb under, A, C, E. A, C, E, A, C, E, A. My pinky lands on that top A, and I'm coming back down now. So I go A, E, C. Then I move my hand and I go A, C, E. Okay, I play the A again. I go A, C, E, A, E, C, A. A, C, E, C, A. And then I move my whole hand to A, E, C, A. And then I move my whole hand A, E, C, A. So I'm repeating that. Because you get your hand in that new position, and it's easier to hit the right note. So if I'm going, it's easier coming back down. And if you haven't done that before, you can practice it and get it. But it does make it really nice in chord in a song that has a whole measure as one chord. Sometimes you wouldn't overdo it either. But when you want to get really big, it is a nice. Or you could just do syncopated. A minor to F major, da da. Or I could just do 2 octave. And that's even a little easier. Just you don't have to go up to three or four octaves. Okay? So I hope you learned something today that will help you. Thank you. Thank you for coming. I'll stay up here if you have any questions.